to bring it back to fatherhood, that this was the book that I got to dedicate to my son. And that was really special. Like, I just that moment of realizing, like, wow, as I was writing it, and as it was getting ready to go to print, you know, we were getting ready to have a baby.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I'm very happy to have Daniel Jose Older. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Daniel. How you doing, sir?
I'm great. It's great to be here. I'm excited to talk.
Very excited to chat with you about fatherhood, a couple of the books that you have out right now. And it's great having you on here. I love chatting with good guys like yourself, talking about fatherhood. Tell me, when you found out you were going to be a dad, what was going through your mind, sir?
Whoo! That. It was exactly that noise. You know, the first conscious thought I had was like, finally, but not in the sense of like, not in an exasperated way. It felt more like I've wanted to be a dad for my whole adult life, but I wasn't desperate to be, and I knew I wanted it to be the right moment. And so this felt like the universe being like, you made it to the right moment, and here we are. And like, that really was incredible. I found it very romantic. It was just like, because I just know, you know, Brittany is the woman that I want to raise kids with. And that reality sort of coming to fruition really clinched that, even just the knowledge of it as being like that much more real. And so it was just like, oh, that is, oh.
Love it, man. That's fantastic. Yeah, I think we've all felt that way. And I appreciate you sharing like that moment where you were just like excited and the reasons why you're excited, because I think everyone kind of takes that question indifferently. Some people say they were freaked out. Some people say, am I ready financially? Whatever the case may be. But love the fact you're like, you're gung-ho and you're all in it. And you said like, you know, your partner, like she was the one you wanted to raise kids with. So I love that. Being a writer and for you, like creativity and just looking for you with your craft, you're so good at it. You can kind of take a look at, I feel like you can kind of take a look at certain situations and read like how people, different people would react to a certain situation, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think you're going to instill like acceptance and understanding and of course creativity. But before I put more words in your mouth, talk a little about some of the values you're looking to instill into him.
Oh, and so my kid, you know, it is that. It is creativity. For me, like, and this is something we'll probably come back to throughout the conversation, but I think so much of writing is about listening. And I think that's really just the fundamental core principle of writing is you have to know how to listen. And I just hope he, you know, I hope to raise him with that principle in mind, whether it's in his interpersonal relationships, listening to himself, being able to be self-reflective, or whatever creative endeavor, if he decides to do that, to be able to listen and to just have that as like a standpoint, you know, like a guiding light, because that's been really helpful for me. And we always want our kids not to make our same mistakes, right? Like, he's going to make his own. But I know the mistakes that I have made in my life, whether it's personal, creative, whatever, have been because of a failure to listen and listen to myself, listen to the world, you know, whatever it may be. And I just want him to not make that same mistake.
No doubt. Yeah. Listening is very key. And especially like you said, it'll probably come up a couple times in our conversation, but especially mm-hmm. with relationships. And, you know, for me, my wife and I are raising two daughters, and I want to make sure that, you know, not, you know, especially in just the way the kind of the world works or history and time, we're trying to change that narrative that everyone has a voice. Right. So I want to make sure that my daughters see that we have a 50-50 relationship. Like, I want to hear exactly what she says, and I want my wife to, you know, hear what I say and all that good stuff. So I love that. Listening is key, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What is something that your son has taught you either about yourself or about life that you would like to share with me?
Patience. You know, he's 6 months old. So, he has a lot, he knows a lot about the world that we don't still, because, you know, they come out with all this information and they know it and they can't express it. And to come back to listening already, you know, I think like, it's always a conversation, even when the kid is nonverbal, like there's still so much that they tell us and express to us. And that's the hardest part. And that's the best part at the same time, is that, you know, you have to pay attention to them, not in the sense of like, give them attention, not transactionally, but actually like hear them, what they're saying, what they're asking for, learn their language of complaint, of excitement, of joy, you know, of all the different things that they have. It's so subtle, right? Like, because they only have but a couple of ways of expressing themselves. It's crying and laughing at this point, and that's it, right? And so it's facial expressions, it's all the subtleties. And that really requires you to, as a parent, like pay attention and be really invested in like figuring out what's going on. And so, you know, if anything, like Brittany's way better at it than I am. So I've learned from both of them about how to like get the cues and like discern between this type of crying and that type of crying, right? And that makes us better people, better parents, like all of that. And so, you know, all of that, I'm getting better at listening. As much as I just said, like, so much of my own personal practice and creative practice is about listening. I have so much to grow, like so much ways to get better at that one fundamental thing.
Daniel, I love that because and that's another thing that the fact that you already see that now, it's like, yeah, you're a good listener, but you have more chance to grow in that area. And we all do. We always tell our kids, and they'll probably like when your son gets to my kids' age, they're, like I said, they're 14 and 11. It's like, oh wow. You know, you'll learn something new and all this stuff. You get the eye roll. And of course you get the eye rolls when you tell the dad jokes, but you show your kids that as an adult, you're still learning and you're still, you know, learning as you grow older. And even if you learn something from them, they'll be like, wow, like I can teach my parents something. So
right.
That is huge. And it is, I love hearing, especially from new dads like yourself, about like the different types of cries and different facial expressions. Like my daughters, you know, it was funny, like if I would kind of just like gently blow in their face, they'd be like looking around like, ooh, what is that? Like just taking it all in. So you just sharing that, just, I got goosebumps because it takes me back when my daughters were that, you know, your son's age. I love it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you're right for this. You're so right for this question right here. It can either be a dad hack or a piece of advice for guys who just found out they're going to be a dad, or maybe, you know, they're listening to, like, as soon as you found out you're going to be a dad, I know that some people will say, like, I found your episode or found your podcast series because I'm becoming a dad and I looked up fatherhood and yours, you know, came up to Q. Right. So is there a dad hack or a piece of advice you'd like to offer to them?
Ooh, you know, I saw this question and I've been thinking about it ever since, and I don't have a good one. I think it's that, like, it's finding the balance between, it's not a hack at all, but it's about, so much of fatherhood already, or parenthood in general, is really about finding this balance between like the stuff that you know and like you know matters and you know has to get done, and then the stuff that the kid knows, right? And to come back to that, and like, you know, we know about gravity and things that are electric and temperatures, right? Like we have to guide things. But the kid knows about when they're hungry, when they're tired, what that means, what they need, right? And so we have to also pay attention. That's the creative process in a nutshell, is like you're listening to the story and what the story wants, and you're moving with it, but you also know about writing and you know about narrative structure, and you have certain things, you know, that you need to get done in a story, right? So you're always bringing these two different elements in this. Part of it is you putting your piece in, and part of it is figuring out what the world wants, or what the baby wants, or what the story wants and needs. And you're always negotiating those things. And negotiate is probably too strong a word, but you're always kind of maneuvering through those different needs, right? Your own, the baby's. And then the last thing I'll say is like self-care, right? In terms of listening to the self, self-care is so important. And that requires good communication with, if you have a partner, with that person, but also with yourself. Like you have to be able to admit like, okay, I'm overwhelmed in this moment. And then now what are we going to do with that, right? Because if you try to barrel through it, that's when you crash, right? Like I think people think admitting to being overwhelmed is the crash. That's not the crash. The crash is so much worse than that, right? Like you have to be able to say, I'm overwhelmed, and now let me take actions to like de-overwhelm somehow, one way or another, smartly, instead of just pretending that I'm not. And then that's when the options start like getting taken away from you, right?
No doubt. Well said. Yeah, man, this is fantastic. And I think you said it wasn't kind of a hack, but I'm going to say it's a really good hack.
I'll take that. All right, sure.
especially for new dads, and just actually dads in general, because, you know, it doesn't have to be raising, you know, a baby or a toddler, all forms of parenting and just things in life, like knowing where your self-care is at. Because if you're not on your game, if you're not there at 100%, you're almost kind of failing your family and friends and all that, and career, whatever the case may be that you're focusing on. So.
Exactly. And I think, you know, toxic masculinity asks us to push through everything and to be like stronger than, put on a mask saying we're stronger than we are. And that is truly just dangerous, like at a root cause. Like, politics aside, you know, gender analysis aside, it's bad for your health and it's bad for your baby and your family's health, right? Like, there's a reason they say put your oxygen mask on before your kids, right?
Yes.
Because you're not going to be any use to the kid if you're not breathing, like, period. Point blank.
You are dropping some great parenting bombs right here, Daniel. I love it. Because, you know, it's funny because you're sitting in a plane like that, like, and God forbid you never want to experience the oxygen mask coming down.
Exactly.
But you just put it in a real awesome scenario, being like, that's a great analogy. This is why you're a writer. You look at things in a different way. You try and help people and communicate with things. Like I said, you look at certain things in the world and you break it down. You like put it in a way that everybody can digest. So let's go on to your craft, sir. Congratulations on Ballad and Dagger. Talk a little bit about this project and what it meant to you.
This is a really special book to me. I was saying the other day, like, every book I've written, I could honestly say is a book of my heart. You know, that's the thing. Like, what's the book of your heart? And I put my whole heart into everything I write. This is different, though. This is deeper. On a very surface level, there are just a lot of things that the main character, Mateo, and I have in common. And whether it's, he's a healer, he finds out he's a healer, he's connected to this healer God, and he just wants to play piano. Like, he's like, I just really want to be a musician and live my teenage life. And that was very much me in my 20s, though. I really, like, left college, like, I just want to be a musician, but I had to pay the rent, and my job to pay the rent ended up being a paramedic, being a healer, right? So being out in the streets, taking care of people. And there was always that tension. Like, I loved that job a lot. It taught me a lot. It made me a better writer, made me a better human. And I was like, but I'm here on this earth to tell stories, and whatever that form might be, whether it's music or later books. And so it's that tension, you know, it's his struggles with his culture and fitting in and different things like that. There's so many different aspects of me that are in this book. And that's why it was also really perfect to bring it back to fatherhood, that this is the book that I got to dedicate to my son. And that was really special. Like, I just that moment of realizing, like, wow, as I was writing it, and as it was getting ready to go to print, you know, we were getting ready to have a baby, and knowing that, and then realizing, like, oh my God, like, I think I wrote the dedication page before he was born, which felt like a little like, oh, but it was just, you know, it's just really, really special. So there's a lot in this book that I'm really excited about for the world to read it.
Love it. Maybe it is Mateo, but is there a character? I'm guessing it's probably Mateo, not just based on your answer, but it doesn't have to be. Is there a character that you really enjoyed, maybe besides Mateo, that you enjoyed, like, just kind of putting your heart and soul into it too?
Definitely Mateo for sure. But no, I mean, the love interest is a really fun. Chayla is a really fun character for me to write. She's an assassin. Like, she kills people, and that's always exciting. You know, that's always a good time. Because in contrast to Mateo being a healer, she's the opposite of that. And the underlying sort of one of the deeper themes of this book is that every story lives with hand in hand with its own opposite, right? And that's embodied by these two characters who are totally different, but also just harmonized in certain ways. It's really powerful. The other character, there's a rabbi character, who's actually based a little bit loosely on Pablo Hidalgo from Story Group. Not based on him, but I did borrow his name for the character, because Pablo is that wise dude that just has all the lore and all the knowledge and is, you know, just great in so many ways. And he's not a rabbi, but he's the rabbi of Star Wars to me. So I made him a rabbi in this book. And he was a really fun character to write. Just, I also have that relationship with some younger writers and stuff, people who are coming up, a kind of a mentor like relationship. And it was cool to have that on the page.
Nice, man. And for you, does your creative process differ from book to book? Obviously deadlines have a huge role, but, like, does creative, like, do you kind of work the same way, or do you like to kind of switch it up? Cause maybe that produces more creativity.
Oh, absolutely. It changes every single book. I would say every single book requires its own process, and it really does. It's not even a choice. It's like the book wants what it wants, and you can either move with it or you can take a long time and really struggle through writing the book. You might struggle anyway because it's a book. It's a process, right? But I've found increasingly too, I just checked, and the one I'm editing right now, which is the sequel to Ballad and Dagger, is my 19th book, which is wild to think about. Yeah.
Congrats.
And Thank you. So, you know, and that's one thing I really learned along the way is that each book really requires you to sit for a minute and figure out with the book, what is this going to be? What process is this going to be? And I've run the whole gamut from being extremely free flow with it, which was most of my earlier books. I just would sit down and write and figure out as I went what was going to happen with only the loosest idea in my head. And then more recently, I've started really getting more structural and planning things out. The so-called architectural method of just like having a real structure in place and then building off that. So it's been really fascinating, but I love that you learn so much as you go, and not to overplay the analogy, but certainly parenting, like you learn it. It's like they always tell you as a new parent, like as soon as you figure out, you know, sleeping, you're going to have a problem with feeding or whatever. And that's true. Like that's also being a writer, right? And like, you can embrace it and move with it, which doesn't mean it's easy, but certainly it's a different approach to it. Or you can be like, but I just had this figured out. Nothing else is supposed to go wrong. Like, that's not how it works.
Don't move, everybody. I'm just don't move, right?
I figured it out. Everybody stay exactly as you are, actually.
It's funny you say that, just like, you know, going back to parenting. Like my first article on parenting was called Kids Are Like Velociraptors because they find the weakness in the chain fence, right? They know where the weakness is, right? They can test things out. So yeah, right. Like you're always gonna be running into something. Like I thought I nailed this fatherhood thing. Like all of a sudden they're gonna throw you for a loop.
Yeah, same as you're a writer.
You said something about like your 19th book, and I said congratulations and all that. But like, especially with deadlines and all that, it just seemed like when you're like, wow, it's my 19th book. Is this the kind of the first time you kind of stop, smell the roses, and being like, wow, I've written? Because it must be kind of hard for you to like, cause you, maybe not always on to the next, but like you can't just stay in the past and look at like your successes. You got to keep on moving forward. But was this the first time you're like, man, 19, that's a lot of books right there.
Not the first time. I periodically try to remind myself, you know, and then there was a period 2 or 3 years ago when I really did just like stop and kind of took stock and I actually had to take stock and also kind of put the past away a little bit, which is a weird challenge, right? Like, but I felt a little bit of a fresh start coming. And so I was trying to kind of move with that. And I actually took a year off writing entirely. And that ended up being a year where a lot of things changed in my career. I switched agents, I switched publishers. And that was so, so important. It's one of the reasons that one of the main fundamental messages that I try to get out to writing students is that you don't actually have to write every single day. In contrast to that advice that they give you a lot, which is you have to write every single day. Like you're not a real writer if you don't write every day. That's a lie. That's not true. I took a whole year off writing and I was still a writer that entire year. I just think it's important to know that, you know, like you do get days off and in fact, you need them. And that's okay. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't make you bad either. We bring a lot of shame to the process already. And it's so important to really just unburden ourselves of that in a very intentional way. And that was transformative for me. Like, I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't taken that break. And obviously I was working hard that whole year. It wasn't a year off. I was doing a whole lot of other stuff. The writing profession includes a lot of stuff that's not writing books. And so I was doing that, you know, for most of the year, whether it was editing or promo or whatever. But I really needed that reset just in terms of my creative brain to stop and be like, all right, what's next? Let me evaluate what's come before and let me open up space to see what's coming next.
I love the fact that we were talking earlier about patience and listening, especially listening to oneself, right? And those two things you did, and look what it did for you, right?
Changed everything. My entire career transformed in that year, and it was so necessary.
So what you could do is you could use that like excerpt in our podcast and be like, when your son gets older and maybe like thinks he knows all more than you do, be like, hold on, just check this out. See what happens when I took my own advice.
Everything gets better.
Love it. Before we finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five, like I said before we started recording, I'm a big Star Wars fan. I want to thank you for you and the crew. You know, for the High Republic, you guys, Star Wars High Republic. I love the fact that you guys, it's awesome because you're like a different version of Voltron, like seeing you. Like I was able to go on the Galactic Star Cruiser, I know you guys did too. It was great kind of, you know, previewing that. But I had Kevin Scott on before, really dig everything you guys are doing, especially for someone who grew up in the 80s and 90s and loving all the Star Wars characters.
You guys
are creating another part of that galaxy. Right. Obviously a little bit before, you know, the original trilogies and stuff like that. It's so amazing. So talk a little about how much fun it is to kind of create new characters and work together with such an awesome team. This is my daughters and I love it.
Oh, great.
I'll listen to some of the audiobooks and all that stuff. Mark Thompson does a great job with you guys, with your work.
It's
a great take on Star Wars, and I want to thank you for that. But like, just talk about that work.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is really fun. Like, that's at the end of the day, like, it's hard work. It's complicated. Certainly the communication of just wrangling all those different people and getting our stories to line up is incredibly difficult, but it's incredibly fun too. And part of that is just because they're such great folks. Like, they're all great authors who I admire professionally and just have a good time with, you know, just on the regular. And that's really cool. Michael Siglane, who's the head of publishing for Lucasfilm and really spearheads the project, has just done such an incredible job of, from the beginning, bringing us together and helping us kind of see the idea and figure out what it would turn into. He's such an integral part of it. And yeah, I'm just living my best Star Wars life. Like, I really have gotten to, once I realized too that my assignment was going to really pan out as this year of comics for phase one, with a middle grade in the middle and a YA book at the end, I was really like, I'm really going to just stake out a little corner of the galaxy in this era and build it because I can. And I did. So like, that whole saga is kind of built into this really long narrative arc that spans all of phase one and climaxes with the end of High Republic Adventures and Midnight Horizon itself, the YA novel. And that was just so much fun artistically to be able to know that I had all those things lined up and be able to see the characters cross over between comics and prose and all of that. It was just like, it's incredible. I'm still like, wow, I can't believe I got to do that. And I can't believe I get to do more and build from what I, you know, that's all just the beginning. That's a foundation, right? And there's so much more ahead. So it's exciting.
Star Wars aside, but just for the fans of your work, and, you know, we'll kind of get to where people can follow you and obviously your website as well towards the end of this interview. But you, I know you guys, especially the High Republic crew, get a lot of like, what just happened? Right. And you're like, sorry.
A whole lot just happened. Just wait. We're just getting started.
Love it. Now we're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. And again, he's super young. So these are things for the future. Right. So favorite family movie, do you and your wife like have an idea of like what first movie you don't want to sit him down to check out?
Oh, wow, great question. We haven't discussed it yet, but I know we both love Spirited Away, the Miyazaki movie, and that's such a great, like, just perfect in every way type movie. So that'll be early. I don't know what the first number one is, but certainly that's up there. A lot of the recent Pixar's and Disney movies have been so great. We just saw Turning Red. I think that's a really, really great, just message-wise, but just really great story. Not too scary, right? Really good for youngers. Although I say that, but I'm like, they're these kids, you see them on the internet, right? And they just love horror movies. Right? Like, inexplicably, tiny little kids are just like, Jason is my favorite, and they love it. And I don't know how that happens, but I'm always watching him like, is he going to be one of those kids? I write scary stuff, but I don't actually like horror movies, and neither does my wife. So we're going to have a problem if he is one of those kids, but whatever, we'll figure it out, right?
Nice. Well, my wife and I aren't into scary movies, and our kids aren't like fans of them either. So there you go. Maybe there's hope for you guys, right?
We'll find out.
Is there an artist or a band you can't wait to introduce him to?
Oh, well, he's already deep into Beyonce. Like she puts it on when she's going to trim his nails. She puts on Homecoming, the live album, which is phenomenal. And it totally takes his mind there. And he just watches it. She'll put on the documentary and she's able to do whatever she needs to do. So we already have that settled.
Nice. Trimming the nail. That's a great dad hack or a parenting. Since your wife came up with it, that's a great parenting hack because like those things are like the kids' nails are like daggers. Like speaking of like horror movies, like Freddy Krueger, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But then cutting them is like, you feel like your sweat's just dropping off. So if you can entertain them while you're cutting the nails, great, great hack right there. Love it. Not the time, you know, especially for his age, not going anywhere, maybe, you know, for, you know, vacations and stuff. But have you and your wife discussed like a perfect family vacation?
Well, we actually, by professional mistake, already took him to Disney. Which I wasn't planning to do, especially during a pandemic. But we had a High Republic gathering, an artist, a writer summit at Disney World. I'm not complaining. And it just made sense to bring the whole family because, you know, that's just what made the most sense. So we drove there and we spent a night on a beachside spot on the way, which was really, really beautiful. So he got to see the ocean for the first time. Nice. And you know, he was too young, but it was still really fun. It was also really terrifying because it's a pandemic. So, and they, you know, whatever. It's like, that's the balance of the day, right? It's like fun and terrifying. What are you going to do?
For sure. This can be a two-parter. Favorite Star Wars character before the High Republic and High Republic. What are they?
It always changes. I don't know. I constantly have a new one. I think Dr. Aphra is probably my most longstanding favorite. I just love her so much. How she's doing. From the beginning to the stuff that Alyssa's doing now to everything. She's just such a necessary, like, chaotic force in the galaxy. I will say my favorite scene remains Jabba's palace from Return of the Jedi. That's the first movie I ever saw, literally ever saw in a movie theater. I was 3 years old and it changed my life. So I always come back to that scene as like just the core of Star Wars for me. High Republic, it's hard. It's like, you know, it's like asking you to pick your favorite child. Like they're my babies, right? I think right now Zine might be really my favorite. She's so like, she's just like, I'm going to do it, whatever it is. Like she took a pot shot at Markion Rowe. I mean, how many people in the Republic can even say that? She didn't know at the time, but she like nearly took him out. Like it was pretty amazing. And I just love her journey from being like really kind of lost in the galaxy and really dependent on her best friend who turned out to be trash to, you know, and just sad about everything to like becoming just really blossoming and becoming this warrior and this fierce, you know, person who she really is. Like she's really come into her own and it's so amazing to watch as a creator and then also to watch fans see themselves in her. That's just been such an amazing journey.
Love it. And now lastly, top three words you hope your son would use to describe you as a dad. What would you want them to be?
Jeez. I wasn't ready for that. I'd say open, reliable, and wise/funny.
Nice. Great. Yeah. Love it. Great three words. Daniel, why don't you tell people where people can find you on social media and also your website, sir?
Definitely. My website is danieljoseilder.net. On that, you can find all my books. I actually have a couple online writing classes posted in different sites that you can take. I can never remember the name. Anyway, there's an online class up there. There's a video and it's really fun. And there's a blog from my ambulance days when I was a paramedic that was kind of the origin story of me as a writer that you can really like see how my voice developed as you read through that. So that's really cool. But most importantly, you can find all my books there, which you should definitely buy. That's danieljoseolder.net. Online, I'm most active on Twitter. It's @DJOlder. I have been a little less active on TikTok, although I love it. I've just been dadding. So it's busy, but it's @DanielJoseOlder. And on Instagram, I'm @DanielJose1.
Cool. Thank you very much. People, make sure you follow him and also support him. He does so much great work. Pick up all of his books. And
May 3rd is Ballad and Dagger. Get ready.
Definitely pick that. I know we're going to pick it up because my kids and I are just fan of that just genre and all that stuff. Oh, and like I said, we're fans of your work. So continued success to you and your family, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And to you. May the force be with you.
Thank you. Thanks for checking out this week's edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Please rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And also go to artoffatherhood.net. You can have a chance to check out some great articles like the weekly Dad's Doing It Right column, the Collector of the Week, and many more. Plus, you have a chance to win some very cool prizes like video games, collectibles, all that good stuff. Go to artoffatherhood.net. And please make sure you rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts because that'll greatly appreciate it to get the word out on the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.